This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Buenos dias. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Wednesday, June 9th. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on another Wednesday, the day traditionally dedicated to St. Joseph. Coming up momentarily, our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tayon, will join us to talk about how I can raise my child to be a saint. A little bit later in the show, our success coach, Dave Duran, will be with us to talk about the art and necessity of improvement and answer your questions about success. And we'll also have the latest Glenn Story Corner. We begin each hour with prayer, giving thanks to the good Lord for all the many blessings that we receive every day, always through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we continue to pray for our bishops, for peace and unity in our nation. We invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. As we do every day here on Morning Air, we have another power scripture from the Playbook of Life because the Word of God is powerful. It can transform and it can change hearts. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When I think of this Bible verse, Matthew 5:16, I remember my good friend, former Major League Baseball All-Star in Kansas City Royals first baseman, Mike Sweeney, who had the initials MT 5:16 inscribed on his baseball cleats. We as Catholics need to shine the light of Christ wherever we go every day. We are the light of the world. We must walk in the light as our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. And we always pray, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, nowadays, being a parent is a big challenge. It's a very big challenge, something that I know firsthand. With technology, with iPads and computers and cell phones, today's secular mainstream culture and all the social pressures that we have, it's a never-ending 24/7 job that God has entrusted to us as parents, and we have to answer back with love and patience just as our Lord loves us and is patient with us. Call us if you're a Catholic parent, if you feel good about how you're raising your kids, if you have some challenges, you want to be part of this conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, joining us this morning to talk about how we can raise our children to be saints is our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tayon. Father Tayon is the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Narragansett, Rhode Island, a regular contributor to The Inner Life with Josh Raymond, as well as Morning Air. Father Tayon has served 10 years in vocation ministry for Our Lady of Providence Seminary while chaplain of Bishop Hendrickson High School. Father Tayon, thanks so much for being with us. Welcome back to Morning Air.
Great to be with everybody today. Good morning.
Father, first of all, as Catholic parents, is it even realistic in this day and age to desire, to want to raise our children to be saints?
I would say it's not only it's not only possible. It's the will of God that everybody become a saint. And when someone's chosen to be the biological and spiritual mother and father of a child, or even by adoption, called by the Lord, obviously the most important thing that a mother and father can do is the relationship of their child with Jesus and the church, and the desire for sanctity, the building of virtue. So those are the most important tasks. Sometimes they get buried inside sports and health and schoolwork and all the other thousands of things seemingly that can really, especially in these days, make a frenetic pace of any home, regardless how many children. But we know that really the calling is to sanctify, to have children learn how to pray, to know Christ, know the scriptures, but especially encounter God in the sacraments and so many other ways of bringing really a prayer and formation aspect and life integrated into a family life. So it's not just going to Mass on Sunday. Please God, that's the minimum, but there's also so many other facets and things to do that. So of course it is not only possible, it's desired by God, and He gives us the grace. No matter how many roadblocks or valleys a mom and dad might go through, it's important to keep moving and making sure that that's the first priority in any family. At least a desire in our prayer would be the most important place to start, that mom and dad desire their children to be saints and their own sanctity as well would be the first priority in order to make this project come to fruition to bless and glorify the Lord, but to make kids find the happiness and the joy in this world, not only the next life, but in this world by being a person of faith and love and devotion to Jesus.
Father Tayon, oftentimes when folks think about saints, they think about the great, great saints of our church, the St. Peter's and St. Paul's, St. Teresa of Avila. They think of the giants of the saints, but we're all called to be saints. We're all called to be holy. Can you talk a little bit about that for the parents before we even think about the children?
Yeah, I think sometimes, right, as Catholics, we hopefully have devotions to saints, and we see them in stained glass windows and beautiful statues and our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, and you're right, there can be sort of a chasm between the word, we hear the word saint, we do think of the major league saints, for lack of a better term, the major saints.
The Hall of Famers.
That we know. Yeah, the Hall of Fame, exactly. We think of the Hall of Famers, but we know most saints are not in the Hall of Famers. Most saints are even canonized saints are actually not as well known as the Hall of Famers. We can really easily find devotions to new saints every day that are truly canonized and blessed. So you're right. And the other thing is, even the Hall of Famers were regular people. It's sometimes hard to imagine that, but we know in Scripture, even some of the family members of the saints that we know now, you know, they had some trouble. We think of, Zebedee and his sons, and we can go through the whole Scriptures, and, you know, the man that went away sad, he couldn't answer his vocation because he was too materialistic, or, you know, there's opposition from parents sometimes, of people following Christ or having a conversion, and sometimes children convert before their parents. I've seen that. A child converts, and then the parents convert. It goes from the child up to the parents, but the ordinary experiences that mom and dad are into the faith, hopefully together, which is can be another, you know, great stumbling block sometimes. We want mom and dad to both know and share Christ in their marriage, and hopefully they share that desire to have not only a holy child, someone that knows Christ, but also has human virtue, builds that regular repetitive goodness and desire of good of the other, building human virtue in children. And that's an important thing, because that also leads to holiness and goodness of life. But you know, all these saints are regular people. Mary was the Immaculate Conception, and that's the exception. But everyone else really had faults and failings and many things that you and I know, and it gives us great hope, actually. Sometimes I've seen books made where, you know, I know there's one book out there, it's something like, you know, all the former gamblers and addicted, you know, not so normal people that became saints, and it's sort of like the outer fringes of where you'd not expect to find a saint. And those are some more conversion stories where people were way out off the page from living a Catholic life, and they came home to God and had a tremendous conversion. So that's always possible. We need to remember that too. It's sort of, this isn't a cookie cutter, simple, you know, it's not like a program. The program is our own prayer life, our own catechesis, our own listen to relevant radio, our own trying to associate whenever we can, maybe in extra church groups with other parents who are in the same desirous fight to make this happen in a positive way for children, and to really not be intimidated by the social media waves, the sporting gods, I call them, where, yes, sports is great. It forms character, it builds virtue. But that dimension of making sure Christ is inside, the priorities of those sports and hopefully teams where maybe sometimes I've seen people pray and catechize during even sports. So Christ can be everywhere. He is everywhere. And how do we make that happen, especially raising children? It's definitely a more challenging today, I would say, than 50 years ago for a myriad of reasons. But all the more reason to be more attentive to the challenge, to enter into it, and no matter how old or how young your child is. So if you're 90 and your child is 70 or 65, you know, we're still in the game here. It's not just the little kids, but all of us are on the path to sainthood. So this applies to everyone, and I would even flip it and say that, you know, for children, this is also including making sure your parents, you desire your parents' holiness and virtue of life, siblings, perhaps, in-laws, people, other people's children, maybe whose parents are not as faithful. Maybe Jesus put you and your friends, you know, one of your neighbor's children's friends are hanging around your house. The parents aren't of faith. We respect their freedom and their being the first teachers of their children. But at the same time, maybe that's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit has this particular family, you know, sleeping over, and you bring the child to Mass with you and you introduce them to Jesus and to sacramental life and expose them to that. Those kind of things are all what we're talking about, how to move forward together and do the best we can at the School of Sanctity for our kids especially.
We're joined by Father Marcel Taillone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to Morning Air. If you want to be part of this conversation, if you feel like you're being challenged as a parent, if you feel that it's important to try to raise your children to be saints, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, Father, I can't remember who was it that said this, that saints are nothing more than sinners who kept on trying. And I think if we keep that perspective, it can give us hope as parents as we pass on these virtues to our children.
You're absolutely right. I do, probably as a priest, one of the things that people confide in priests most often is their really distress that maybe their kids and grandkids don't practice their faith, or sometimes parents. Once in a while it goes up the generational chain the other way. But we should never give up and never grow weary of praying God for that. And we do that by modeling. Sometimes, you know, people encouraging, teaching, sometimes subtle gifts, you know, at Christmas time, give the religious gift or the catechetical gift along with maybe another secular gift for Christmas or, you know, certain things like that. Whenever there's an open door, someone can make a suggestion or get permission to bring a child to Mass or to other things like that. Or maybe the parish festival where it's not right into church is something fun, but we introduce someone to all our church friends and start that way, you know, sometimes. But I think it's important, especially around middle school and high school today, and certainly in college, sometimes children that have been well raised in the faith just hear a lot of contrary things, not only things that are different values and priorities, but actually sometimes maybe even against Jesus and his teaching. So how do we deal with that? And I think, you know, the prayer life of children is important. I think really, you know, having a regular sacramental encounter with Jesus at all ages, including ourselves, you know, what's the best way to get someone to go to confession is to go ourselves and then talk about it after, about the grace we receive from that. There's nothing like a witness to that versus you have to go, you know, and trying to find creative ways to be evangelical among those that we live with the most, that we take care of the most. I think for moms and dads, trying to maybe, you know, making a plan, stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit. So if you find that maybe some people, it's a fight to get the kids to Mass. They don't realize the Eucharist is God. It's boring, they say, and the parents, you know, are on fire. And what are you doing? We find creative ways to explain the Eucharist to kids. But maybe, you know, introducing a new prayer at home, certainly going around the table, making sure we eat dinner. You know, if not every day, a certain day of the week, we're all together. And at that dinner, we share a grace from the week and something we want to pray for. And, you know, those kinds of things. At nighttime, Prayers by the Bed, a little appropriate, age-appropriate Bible story, maybe a little bit of a decade of the Rosary to start off, things just bringing Christ in, letting him burst into the daily life, you know, of the things. Someone's going, they have a tough test at school, they, you know, maybe they're going off to college, they're applying to college, they're stressed out. You pray with them that the Lord guide the decisions of which college they get into, or if they're going to decide which school, you know, Catholic or public, pray with them. Don't just talk about it, but kind of bringing that to Jesus together. Those kind of things, that simple, can be teaching someone to sanctity, just bringing the Lord into everything. And we need to do that too as adults in our lives and continue to be created to bring up the name of Jesus and talk about him. But the saints that are in the church, honestly, they're all quite human, and some of them have had a past that we'll never have. It's been so crazy. They have a massive conversion, whereas most of us are on that, I think, on that ordinary life, daily struggle. Some good days, some bad days. Sometimes we have all the energy and grace to do it, and other times we're tired. But that's where moms and dads get kind of pooped out sometimes. But that's where we got to keep the desire for our kids to know Christ and all the kids that are in our lives, not just our own children, but other people's children. I've seen great things where, again, neighborly family, someone in the neighborhood has faith in a family, and it flows out across the driveway because of the friendship of their son or daughter with other kids in a neighborhood, and they know that family goes to church, and they get permission to bring them, and then they have 1,000 questions, and those things do lead to conversion sometimes. And I think we can't discount those simple providential happenings in raising your own kids to be saints, but sometimes not being afraid to also see the Lord, the Holy Spirit, maybe reaching out through your own circle, your social circles and family circles to do that. Obviously, people in Catholic school have an advantage, you know, kind of making this happen more easily, because during the day the school is referencing Christ and homework, hopefully, and sacramental encounters at school. So that's a bit of an advantage, if you will, in what we're doing here. But I think everyone should be inspired by the humanity of the saints, the difficult times they had, and sometimes finding saints that, you know, there's a bunch of children saints out there, but finding saints, you know, this young blessed Carlo Acutis, he's just named blessed in Italy. He was a computer gamer. So if your son's stuck on video games and he just won't get off it and kind of, you know,
I know the feeling, Father. I know the feeling.
Right?
Believe me.
You're right. How do you get him off the video game? How do you get her to stop, you know, whatever, running this app with her friends, right? That's a hard thing. And then the little child in middle school, it's rough, right? But I think kind of being super creative. So if Carlo Acutis he was a gamer in this century who designed the website for Eucharistic Miracles. Now, you know, I think somehow trying to get our kids who are into gaming or into really a lot of time online, if we can't unplug them all the way, they're really upset. Maybe try plugging them in, you know, 5% into something that's really good. And hopefully, like, again, a person like Carlo can speak to a middle school gamer. Like, maybe he could say, geez, like, I can't even think Jesus was in this world. I thought it was separate, you know. But I think those kind of things, being creative, and that takes a little research, finding out which saints we can have relate to our kids. And then maybe if someone they know has a big problem, finding a saint that we know someone they care and love about is having a problem, whether it's, I don't know, whether it could be depression, their families have problems, or they lost their jobs, and trying to find a saint that we can introduce to our child that we can intercede for that particular other family is another way to, again, kind of through the back door, introduce some of these saints that can help them kind of figure out that God's going to get us all through this and make us holy by these difficult things that those families are going through. But it can be a challenge. I can hear it in your voice too. But those are the things, being creative and not being discouraged, and trying to find just the right saints, as well as looking. I think sometimes we can find saints for our kids that they have a lot in common with. There's a lot of children saints. But also, even sometimes more attractive is saints that had problems of their friends, or maybe a challenge of one of, maybe someone in our family has a problem, or someone close to them is struggling, and then to maybe kind of introduce the saints that way, but also be inspired. I think today's program too, we're looking at how do the parents of these true saints, even not the Hall of Famers, you know, how do they do it? And sometimes trying to find out and doing a little bit of research and openness. How did these parents do that in times that were really, today we have social media pressures. That's a whole new, it's a whole new dynamic. We're like in different oxygen, you know, trying to do this, but we can also use relevant radio as a great example, right? We have radio for a long time, but this kind of radio is very helpful for our own minds, keep our minds focused on really the task at hand and finding things like relevant radio, like other things online that can help us be inspired by other stories and not kind of live in our little world and get so discouraged with the children's maybe not opposition, but just not all in and not being discouraged by that at all. Just really just, hey, Lord, you know how hard this is. Don't let me give up. Give me some inspiration. Teach me how to do it and give me some new ideas for myself so I can stay fresh at this ultimate goal for my kids, which is to get them to be holy, to know Christ and to run to him in times of mercy and not be afraid of him and to know he's real. The Eucharist is real. It's God. And I think saying those kind of things, I think for kids, you know, if your kids don't want to go to Mass, I know a family in the parish, they always say, the Eucharist is God. I don't even feel, the Eucharist is God, so we have to go because the Eucharist is God. And then I think they say it so often, I think when the kids are like 30, they right away someone's going to say, oh, my kid doesn't want to go back. The Eucharist is God. And these parents say that. That's their little mantra, and that's their way that over time the kids stop being opposed to going to church. They'll go and maybe not run to the car, but over time that does change once they understand the Eucharist is Jesus. And I've seen a couple of families use that in a very coy but successful way, so good on them.
Father Tyone, we do have time for a quick call. Valerie is joining us from Chicago. Good morning, Valerie. Welcome to Morning Air.
High school Regina Dominican gave me the blessing of a great education, but also of prayer. And you just mentioned so many about praying, but I have, I'm older now, but my friends have had kids with difficulties conceiving. And I've said to my friends, like, I'll pray for your daughter. And now I'm very, very close to my friend's daughter. And she has no idea, like, the prayers that her mother and I made for her. And she now has a full family. But I did go to her child's baptism. And the daughter has reached out to me. And sometimes she'll probably understand and hear more about it all. But prayer for worries for you and others is just such a blessing. So I just echo everything you have said, and also the gift that Catholic schools give for prayer, because I've had kids in both schools, and they find a channel productively with prayer when they have anxiety.
Yeah, amen, right? So, yeah, the blessing Cat School today can pray with the kids in the school. When someone dies, they know the answer. We can speak about Christ's death and resurrection and those great things. But I love your call because you're witnessing to that your prayers help this other family's children, I think. So everyone wants their own children to be best. Everyone wants their kids to have the best friends, the best career, the best, you know, love, the best faith. And that is, mm-hmm. It should be the first priority. But you're witnessing to the providence of God, and sometimes, right, other adults spiritually or even catechetically can have a far greater influence than the parents at certain times in the development of the child's life, which I think is a kind of a normal thing. You know, if some kids are just always docile to their parents' directions and input, and others just go through some phases like that. But that's where, if you have good Catholic friends and good Catholic neighbors or other parishioners or other Catholic school parents or religious ed buddies, you know, and you start really kind of plotting together mm-hmm. to pray, and you're a witness to that, right? This sort of, your prayers have brought about fruit for this family. And you can see the providence of God putting you close by. So that's the other point, I think, this morning about our program. Never discount why something might be happening. You feel called to pray for this family, to pray for this person, and you really enter into that, and then you start seeing the fruits of your prayers, and you realize that it's kind of a mission. It's kind of like an underground mission for the Lord, and it does help people. Thank goodness you've had good formation. You know, you had good Catholic school formation, plus presumably your parents, and not all kids have that. So, you know, a lot of, we shouldn't get discouraged when kids, you know, maybe their parents only bring them to religious education, they don't bring them to Mass. It's always very you know, very sad to see, very frustrating, but we take them when we have them, and then we try to build that relationship to bring them into sacramental life and get the parents too. But it happens being a good neighbor, a good spiritual, you're a good spiritual neighbor. And I think we sort of can forget that. We can be a good neighbor, but being good spiritual neighbor, especially to other parents that might need a lift or a help or a bench, a team to help them do what God wants them to do. So I appreciate your call very much.
Thanks so much, Valerie, and thank you, Father Marcel Taillon, for being with us with your wonderful insights on how we can raise our children to be saints. Thank you, Father.
All right. Well, blessed day. Saints pray for all of us.
Blessings to you. Father Marcel Taillon, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to The Inner Life with Josh Raymond. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our success coach, Dave Duran, the co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media, will join us. And that's after we hear from today's gospel reading from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come here on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel. Or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Morning Air on this Wednesday, the day traditionally dedicated to St. Joseph. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Our success coach, Dave Durand, is standing by. Coming up a little bit later in this half hour, we'll have the latest edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, are you getting better and better every day, or even a little? Do you strive for improvement in all facets of your life? One of my favorite coaches, going back to my sports days as a sports reporter, the legendary Lou Holtz of Notre Dame football fame, once said, "God didn't put us on this earth to be mediocre. If you're mediocre, you're the top of the bottom and the bottom of the top." And this is a perfect lead-in to talk about the importance of getting better, the art of necessity and improvement. And it's time to talk with our longtime regular contributor to Morning Air since way back in the beginning when I first started with Relevant Radio. And, of course, we're talking about Dave Durand, our success coach. Dave is the co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media at decidedexcellence.com and the host of The Dave Durand Show, which you can listen to every Saturday here on Relevant Radio at 10 Central. Good morning, Dave. It's great to be with you once again here on Morning Air, where it all began for this reporter a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it has been a long time, and it is really excited to be with you here this morning, John. I mean, that goes back a couple decades now, so it's fun to be together on Morning Air.
We've come a long way, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that is for certain. In fact, if you think about what has happened in the past couple of decades, there's a lot of improvement on Relevant Radio, and that's really kind of up the alley that we're talking about, is the art and necessity of improvement.
Absolutely. How's the show going, by the way, on the weekends, the Dave Durand Show? How's that experience been like?
It's been so much fun. You know, it's quite a different format than the Wednesday mornings in that, you know, we're able to take a lot of emails and we take calls, of course, on Wednesdays, too, which is terrific. But when we get those emails, we're able to dive in a little bit more because we've got the extra time. And so we can kind of either take a balance of what happens on the Wednesday show if people have an email question. And by the way, that's dave@relevantradio.com to do that. Or on Saturday when we get one, too. So we're able to follow up a little bit more and dive in, which has been a whole lot of fun. So we look at leadership and we look at a lot of business issues, even investment issues, things like that, but all centered on what it means to be Catholic and to live out our faith through those basic, simple activities.
Well, Dave, I can't begin to tell you how many times I'm on my way to a baseball practice or a game with my son, and I'm listening to a part of your show on a Saturday morning, getting inspired. I really appreciate the great job you're doing.
Well, thanks for the support.
For sure. Now, let's talk about today's topic. Why is it necessary to try to improve in life and why we just can't stay neutral?
I love the Lou Holtz quote. Now, there's two different types of improvement that we always have to consider, and this is very, very important. There's a comparative improvement toward others, which, by the way, is a good thing. It can be taken too far, but it's a good thing. You know, when we, and if it's taken too far, it's actually a very destructive thing. But when we live in a comparative world, for example, we are an athlete and we want to be better than the other team or better than, you know, the other athletes. We want to win, to be number one. If we're in a business and a part of the business is growing a larger market share and there's an interest in that, it's a properly ordered thing, those things are good because there's a reward there, there's enthusiasm for the rest of the team, there's excitement. But we can't all be number one, and that's a very important thing to consider. So the majority of the improvement that we're talking about is actually the improvement against our old self. That when we wake up, there's virtually no neutral. If you look at it, life is like a slight breeze, sometimes an intense storm, and we're basically like a boat or even a feather on the water. And if we wake up, that wind is going to push us backwards and we will devolve. So we need the hard work of some sort of, you know, oar or propeller in the water, constantly moving forward in improvement. And that's really an essential thing because we are called to be perfect. Now that primarily means, of course, in fact, it almost exclusively in the scriptures means our holy life, our spiritual life, our sanctity. But there's a parallel to that. Oftentimes, the way we reach that holiness is through mastering activities that we do, because when we master those activities, we master our virtues. And when we master our virtues, we build a massive foundation for God's grace to land and for us to continue that holiness. So these things are really kind of interwoven together in a very substantial way.
Dave, I always tell my 13-year-old baseball player son, Joseph Dominic, always do your best. Doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter whether it's in school, whether it's in baseball, you give it your all, you give 110%, you do your best. How important is it, that mentality, if you're trying to improve, to get better every day?
It's super important because when we build the habit of improvement or the habit of, you know, in essence, what you're talking about there is a fortitude, right? That when things are difficult, that we continue to work harder, or even a temperance in that, you know, if we don't feel like doing it, we wake up in the morning, we're like, you know, it'd be really fun to kind of just goof off today as opposed to apply myself. So here we've got the fortitude to move through things when they're difficult and the temperance to resist the temptations that prevent us from staying on course. But one of the things that's really important when we give that message, and I know you do this, John, is that we have to give the message of prudence and justice first. So these are, of course, the four cardinal virtues, and they stack on each other. You cannot have justice without prudence. You can't have fortitude without justice, and you can't have temperance without fortitude. This is really the way the church has always taught this sort of thing, and there's a lot of great theologians that have taken this way deeper than I ever could. But why does this matter? Because there's a lot of people out there who are like, hey, you know what? I was told that I need to always do my best, which is why I'm going to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning playing this irrelevant video game with other people.
Not prudent.
Because I have to do my... Not prudent, exactly. So it's a misapplication of the idea of improving. Now, that doesn't mean that all kind of hobby-oriented activities, you know, don't make sense to improve on. I mean, there are some that, you know, hey, if you're going to golf, might as well be good at it, you know, but at what point does improving your golf game now lead to an injustice because you're abandoning your family or your work responsibilities, right? So that's why when we use that prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance formula, we not only know the importance of and necessity of improving, but we also know where to direct that.
If you have any questions or experiences on getting better every day, I'd like to ask our callers, our listeners, to give us a ring to ask our success coach, Dave Durand, any questions about getting better. You can call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Dave, what are some reasons that may keep us from improving?
Well, these are big things because most people are blind to them. And we have to remember that, you know, pride is really the killer of these sorts of things. What is pride? Pride is the antithesis of humility, and pride is like the, it's like the halitosis or bad breath of vice. We're the only one in the room that doesn't know we have it, right? Everybody else can tell us. Very easily we can identify somebody else's pride, but we cannot see our own. So what we have to realize is that pride, okay, is the thing that gets us in the way. And that is to say, I'm good enough, or I'm already better, or I'm above these other people. And why does that happen? Well, because in order to improve, in order to be better at something, we need to actually have, and these are metaphors, because when we're talking about love, love at its purity, God being love, we're talking about the love of relationship and willing the good of another. However, there are other things that we can have a small L love for, which is funny because in English we use the same word for all sorts of things, but we would have a love or a passion for an activity, right? Or for a cause, for these sorts of things. How do we know that we're actually doing it? Well, very simply. The way we know we're doing it is that we sacrifice for it. And that's a pure sign of that. A person with pride is not going to sacrifice for it because they're going to already say, I'm good enough, or I'm above it, or the other person needs to make that commitment where I'm unwilling to do it or on that activity. So we have to look at that. And then when we do come back from the break too, there's going to be a lot more to talk about on secondary reasons that get in the way of why we don't improve and what we need to do to get around those things.
Great. Well, we're going to take a short time out as we continue talking about the art and necessity of improvement with our success coach, Dave Durand, co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media, decidedexcellence.com, and the host of the Dave Durand Show here on Relevant Radio, Saturdays at 10 Central Time. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's the final
countdown. 45 minutes after the hour, once again, we're joined by Dave Durand, our success coach. We're talking about the art and the necessity of improvement. Again, I want to invite our listeners, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you have any thoughts or comments about getting better every single day. Dave, before the break, we started to talk about some of the reasons for not improving, the things that are keeping us from improving. And let's continue.
Well, one of the things that happens, of course, is pride, and that's the thing we talked about mostly. And we did hit on the idea of prudence, basically, which is to master decision-making. What direction do I go in and why? So really what has to happen here is a person has to play it out. And they say, okay, if I were to invest time on this particular thing, at the end of the day, when I master this, let's say, for example, what has that done for my life? What has that done for others? How has it affected those people around me that I'm supposed to be around, that I'm supposed to support? Now, if you're saying, well, I need to master my ability to do my job and I actually run a business, and therefore, if I do that, there's going to be prosperity for a lot of people. There's going to be pay raises. I can hire more people. My family has more more ability to go to whatever that school might be that they want to do, to take a family vacation, to help support others around them. All sorts of good things are going to happen there. You have to ask yourself the question, to what point do I need to improve at what pace? Because now this is where a person says, well, those altruistic and good goals are so important that I'm going to work literally 12 hours a day and never see my family. So now all of a sudden it comes at a cost that doesn't work well. And then contrast that, John, with what we talked about before, mastering a video game until 3 o'clock in the morning. And at the end of the day, that is going to go down as a non-event historically, and no one's going to remember it, and it's going to come at the cost of all sorts of, you know, the wake of irresponsibility. Now, I don't want people to think that I'm fully bashing the idea of a video game as though it's some sort of like intrinsic evil. That's not what's happening here. It's just all things in their proper order that really matter, and that's essential.
Absolutely. You want to get stronger, you don't need to weight train at 3 a.m.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yep. But weight training is a good idea, right? So when are we going to do it? That's a great point.
Exactly. Sam is calling us from Athens, Georgia. Sam, welcome to Morning Air. What is your question for Dave Duran?
Well, I wonder if Dave agrees with my idea of my businesses and my hobbies get better, the better my prayer life becomes. And I find a direct connection with success every day or failure based on the quality of my prayer life.
Yeah, Sam, I think it's a really great point. And in fact, it's one that's actually worth kind of diving into a little bit more. So there are two sides to this, which are one is in full agreement, and the other one is kind of a cautionary plan of God's providence in us. So there is something we all know called the health and wealth gospel, which is really more of an evangelical look at things, which is to say that the more I give, the more I pray, the more God blesses me, the more success I have. Therefore, basically, if a person isn't praying and giving and they don't have the same success I have, they're certainly not as holy. And I know you don't mean that at all, by the way. So I just kind of want to put that aside because it's an important distinction, because God does call some people who have the most intense prayer lives to also suffer intensely. And in fact, some saints whose work really while they were on earth, no matter how they sacrificed for it, didn't prosper, they now die and God lights up the work that they did after they have passed on and are in heaven. And that's kind of a sign of the holiness and the reward that you know comes later, even though they never experience it. So it's important to stay away from that health and wealth idea. But what you're saying is so important. Why? Because no matter who we are, when we are living in the state of grace, when we are communing with God, and when we keep ourselves holy, we are less subject to evil. We are less subject to evil influence. We are more pure in our thought. We are better at what we do, and we are less confused. We will have more energy. All sorts of things are going to happen when we compare what it means to live in the state of grace with God, who is the perfect counselor to all things that we do when it comes to our business or our hobbies and everything else, not to mention for simplicity in our relationships because we have purity of heart. So all of those things by contrast, if we were to say, okay, if I'm going to live in the state of sin and try to pursue these things, am I going to be better than if I live in the state of grace? Well, we're going to be better when we live in the state of grace. That does not mean that we're all going to become abundantly healthy, wealthy, or highly effective, or the number one, you know, golfer, or the number one CEO, or the most wealthy person. But it does mean, and this is that important non-outer comparative, but inner comparative self, compared to ourselves and where we would have been, if we are in the state of grace, we will always perform better, albeit God's plan is his plan. And if he decides to have us go through a particular amount of suffering, we would recognize that in some way with some sort of a spiritual affirmation. And we would continue down the road that we need to, knowing that the intense effort we're putting into things, even though it is not rewarded, is God's plan. Why? Because it is rewarded in a different way. And that is holiness, which leads likely to a higher place in heaven. And no one's going to complain about that when the game is finished and you hear the final buzzer.
Sam, thanks so much for your call. Really appreciate that perspective on the importance of prayer. Dave, I think it also makes me think of priorities, making the Lord number one, your family second, and then your vocation or your profession.
Yeah, there's that kind of classic idea that God is not a file in the cabinet. He's the cabinet itself. And one of the reasons that's so important is because we really can't say, well, I'm going to put God first. Now, by the way, we have to put God first, okay? But there's a second side of this that there's always these small little errors. I'm going to put God first, therefore I'm going to perpetually pray and neglect my family. It doesn't actually work that way, right? By putting God first, we're going to recognize that we have this call to be a great spouse, a great parent, and therefore, in order to put God first, we need to be great at our family role. That's actually a part of it. These things are so linked together that we can't say, well, I'm gonna put God first, and then I'm going to put my family out there, and then I'm going to work really hard, but you know, that's not really the God part of me. The God part of me is just Sunday for an hour. All of these things are so linked together. That's why, you know, we pray unceasingly. What does that mean? It means literally when you're checking your email, you do it in a prayerful manner. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be checking your email while you're able to unconsciously say Hail Mary, okay? But you have to focus on what the topic of that email is. But you do that email as though you're doing it for God, to glorify God. If Jesus were sitting in your room with you, in your office, how would you check your email? How would you check your work if the Blessed Mother and Jesus were right there with you? And that's how we can glorify God through all of these things and keep that order proper.
Dave, less than 2 minutes left. A final thought on the ultimate goal, the final goal of improvement for us.
Well, ultimately, and I, it's almost like you're a radio professional here, John, because next time we're on, we're going to be talking about expertise, actually. And when we improve, it ultimately leads to a certain amount of mastery and a certain amount of expertise. Now, most people demand expertise from those people around them. But they don't demand it in themselves. They demand it from for the people they hire to do professional jobs and projects. They expect it from other drivers on the road, but they don't expect it for themselves. So it's super important for us to recognize that when we are constantly set in motion to improve, there will be an ultimate end, which is pretty awesome, and that is an expertise. And we really should consider the importance and even necessity of that in particular areas in our life, and to humble ourselves to accept the responsibility.
Without a doubt. Much more next time. Dave, thanks so much for being with us here on this Wednesday morning.
Thanks, John.
Dave Durant, co-founder and CEO of Decided Excellence Catholic Media, decidedexcellence.com. It's now time for our Tuesday edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called One Thin Dime from Sunny Skies. Have you ever wondered why Roosevelt is on the dime? It all goes back to polio and a beloved comedian. In 1921, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt contracted polio at the age of 39. He was never able to walk again on his own after contracting the disease. When the president started a foundation to fight polio, comedian Eddie Cantor came up with an idea to raise money. Cantor was a multi-talented performer whose rise to fame began in the New York City Theatrical Review in 1917. After FDR issued his proclamation announcing the creation of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis to carry on the battle against polio, Cantor asked people to mail a dime to the White House. "Nearly everyone can send in a dime or several dimes," said Cantor in his 1938 appeal for donations. "However, it only takes 10 dimes to make a dollar. And if a million people send one dime, the total will be $100,000. Cantor called it the March of Dimes, based on a pun on the March of Time, an American newsreel series sponsored by Time Incorporated and shown in movie theaters from the 30s through the early 50s. The White House was soon overwhelmed with a total of 2,680,000 dimes, literally truckloads of dimes, mostly from children. President Roosevelt went on the air to express his thanks, saying, "During the past few days, bags of mail have been coming literally by the truckload to the White House. Yesterday, between 40 and 50,000 letters came to the mailroom of the White House. Today, an even greater number. How many, I cannot tell you, for we can only estimate the actual count by counting all the mailbags. In all the envelopes are dimes and quarters, even dollar bills, gifts from grown-ups and children, mostly from children who want to help other children to get well. Literally, by the countless thousands, they're pouring in. And I figured if the White House staff and I were to work on nothing else for 2 or 3 months to come, we could not possibly thank all the donors. Therefore, I must take this opportunity to thank all who've aided and cooperated in the splendid work we're doing." The money raised went directly to the research that enabled Jonas Salk and Albert Sabin to develop their polio vaccines. After the death of President Roosevelt in 1945, legislation was introduced by Virginia Congressman Ralph Dauten that called for the replacement of the Mercury dime with one bearing Roosevelt's image. The dime was released to the public January 30, 1946, which would have been Roosevelt's 64th birthday. From 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Thanks so much, Glenn, for another outstanding story corner. You know, Glenn, this story about the March of Dimes makes me think of our pledge drives, how every little penny, every dime from all of our listeners helps us to stay on the air every single day.
Absolutely, John. You know, we talk when we do these pledge drives, and we've had the chance to do many, many over the years. The big donors, of course, are necessary and so appreciated, but some of the most memorable ones are the young kids getting together with a lemonade stand and giving the proceeds from that. We had someone who was incarcerated in the middle of Wisconsin who had sent in like $1.85 or something like that every once in a while, the meager amount they'd make working in that situation. And, you know, that widow's mite amount really, really makes a difference.
Without a doubt. And I can't help but think of my good friend, our friend, mutual friend, Drew Mariani, who always reminds us that you can never outgive God. And so we're so grateful for our listeners coast to coast that have helped us in such a big way day in and day out with their donations, whether they're $10 or $10,000. It doesn't make any difference. Without our listeners, we would not be able to do what we do every single day of bring our Lord, Jesus Christ, to the world through this vehicle, this instrument of the media.
Well, that's right, John. And as Father Rocky says, even if we, you know, had the money we needed going in, we may well still do a pledge drive so that people learn to be generous. They learn to give. They get the joy of giving, and they feel a little responsibility for what they're working with by listening to us as well. And it feels kind of good when you give to kick back and listen and go, hey, I kind of helped build that a little bit. Reminds me of my dad who did construction. We'd drive by buildings as a little kid, and he could point to ones that he helped work on.
Absolutely. To get inspired every day, for more on Glenn's Story Corner, you can go to the Relevant Radio app. And that'll do it on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance and the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Tune in to the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. tonight. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. God bless you. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.